our Father in heaven. Yes, our King of kings and the Lord of lords. What a name. The name of Jesus. The sweetest name that has ever been. The name that sets us free. The name that redeems us. The name that restores. The name that heals. The name that makes all things new. The name that heals. Lord, we thank you for this name. And so this afternoon, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we humble ourselves under the mighty power and authority of this name. And we confess that, Lord, should there be any other name that we have exalted among ourselves, in this past week, should there be any other name that has dominated our thoughts, our hearts, should there be any other name that has caused fear in our lives this past week and probably even this morning, Lord, should we have exalted even our personal names and made our names more important than the name of Jesus. We ask that, Lord, you forgive us. And right now, we lift up the name of Jesus. We glorify the name of Jesus. We exalt the name of Jesus. And Lord, our worship this afternoon is but to the name of Jesus. May this name speak good stuff to us this afternoon. May this name speak to our hearts today. And Lord, by this name, may your word come to us as I submit myself to you as a vessel. Use me to speak your word by this name, that your people may hear your voice and that your blessing will be upon them. Thank you for our senior pastor and our associate pastor who are out there for ministry. We bless them. By this name, we bless them. It is by this name that I have served you and labored in this vineyard. We just lift them up and pray that you would bless them wherever they are. And so, Lord, you are doing something in our midst. You are doing something online. You are doing something at the pavilion. Lord, I pray that I'm going to discern what you are doing so that I can join you in what you are doing today in our midst in your name. For this we pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say, and God's people say, while you're still standing, allow me to draw our attention to a passage that will be our focus this afternoon, drawn from the book of Ruth, chapter 4, and I'll be reading the first 12 verses. We only have two books in the Bible that bear women's names. One of them is Ruth. In Swahili, ni Ruthu. And from where I come from, it is Luthu. And so the other one is the book of Esther. Two very interesting books. Are there some Ruths in the house? Yeah, there are some Ruths. Okay. Leo tunasema Luthu. Okay, Ruth chapter 4. The Bible says, Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here. And they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of this seated here and in the presence of the elders of our people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so that I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in the earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Kilion, and Malon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Malon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead and his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his people." From among his people, where are we? Verse 11, then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming to your house, into your home, like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman. May your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." This is the word of God. And God's people say, amen. You are welcome to have your seat as we share in the word of God today. And before I do so, let's appreciate again the worship team just for their ministry, great ministry. We thank God for them. And we thank God for each one of us who have made it to the service today, even with this interesting weather. Those who are online, we also celebrate you following this service from across the country and all over. We celebrate you and we thank God for you. We also want to celebrate our senior pastor and associate pastor who are out of town for ministry. Let's celebrate our senior and associate pastor. Amen. We thank the Lord for their lives. Earlier in the first service, my wife was here and she sent greetings. Receive them in Jesus' name. Together with our family, we bless you, and they are on their way home. And I know that they are following this service. This afternoon, brothers and sisters, I want to bring to us a message titled, "Jesus, the Ultimate Kinsman Redeemer." Jesus, the Ultimate Kinsman Redeemer. When we talk about redemption in our day to day, we are talking about the perspective that we have is the perspective of a very spiritual word and a very spiritual engagement. We are actually focusing on salvation, and we are focusing about the good things that Jesus has done when he went to the cross. But when you talk about redemption in the earlier, in the Israel context, and when you go to the Old Testament, where we have the word redemption and we follow the story of redemption, and yes, the word of God is actually about Jesus. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, the word of God is about Jesus. And Jesus is also the Redeemer. Jesus is actually the Redeemer. And when we talk about redemption in the ancient Israel, it is not a very fancy aspect as we view it today. In fact, talking about redemption and the redemption system, as you find it in the book of Leviticus chapter 25, and you'll also find part of it in Deuteronomy chapter 25, I may interest you that you get some time and look at those passages. You will realize that it was a system that had been set up by God to take care of those in the society who are vulnerable. It was really about protecting especially the poor. It was about protecting the widows. It was about protecting members of the Israelite community who, for one reason or the other, may sell their land because of need. And since the land belonged to God and belonged to his people, then even if the land is sold, God put in a mechanism to ensure that though at this moment is a time of need, that somebody will stand in the place of this other vulnerable individual who was in desperate need of maybe survival and something like that, to redeem their land back. It was like a surety that one time, though we have had to part with something that is special to us, somebody will stand up for us and redeem our land back. It was also a system that was set apart for widows who, you know, a man had married a woman and for one reason or the other, they didn't have children, they didn't have sons, for example, and this man dies, then there will be a relative who is set in place whose work will be to acquire this woman and through her perform the duties of a husband and there be a son who will inherit that which belongs to this man who died before they got children. So when you think about redemption, really, that system may not have been a system for those who had everything well collected and they were good and things were working for them. It may not have been for those who are necessarily wealthy in the society. They did not really think much about redemption. It may not have been really big news for them. In fact, in addition to the king's man redeemer, who was the first person that would redeem whatever was sold out, God also brings in the year of Jubilee. So that just in case there is no redeemer who helps this poor family or this poor widow to redeem whatever belongs to them back, then they would wait for the year of Jubilee. It was also a way of redeeming people who had given themselves among the Israelites, either as laborers or slaves. And this person would ensure that even as they serve their masters, that they were protected. They had some rights protected by this kinsman redeemer. However, should no one, because there had to be somebody willing to do it, should no one come out who was willing to do it, then this person would have to wait for the year of Jubilee, because at the year of Jubilee, everything was restored back. Now, if you did sell your land on maybe the third year, then you will be waiting for 47 years, if no one redeems you, for there to be hope for redemption for you. If you became a slave at year 10, and no one is there to protect you, you would have to wait for 40 years for somebody, for the year of Jubilee, so that in the year of Jubilee, you will be released. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that in my wild imagination, there must have been people who died for two factors. They died a desperate death for two factors. Number one, that there was no one willing to redeem them. But also number two, that they did not make it to the year of Jubilee. Because if nobody redeemed you and you never made it to the year of Jubilee, you would have died a desperate death. That is what redemption, the system of redemption that God puts in place, was meant to cure. And here in the passage that we have read and throughout the book of Ruth, we have two women who are in this category, two widows who are in need of redemption. Naomi, or rather the family of Elimelech in chapter 1, there is hunger, there is famine in the land, and so Elimelech moves his family to Moab. They leave Bethlehem, the house of bread, and they go to Moab, a nation that had been cast out by God, and they go there in seeking refuge. They went to seek refuge. They went so that they can survive, and while they were there, the Bible tells us that tragedy struck. Tragedy struck. I am saying tragedy struck. And Naomi lost her husband in a foreign land. And we are not told whether they brought back the body to come and bury. But I'm looking at the way situation looks like. It is most likely they didn't. They didn't have the capacity and the means to do so. And so the Bible tells us that Naomi continued to live there for another 10 years. And in the period of 10 years, two things happened. One, her sons marry among the Moabites. And then after they marry, they also die. A woman who went out full in her hands with a husband and children, and perhaps things started looking like they were getting better, sooner than later, she is alone with nothing, without a husband, without sons, and without hope. A desperate situation that requires redemption. And so Naomi comes back to Bethlehem, and on her way back, her two daughters-in-law, you know, say, oh, we are following you. We are going together with you. And Naomi looks at them and says, hey, my girls, my daughters, you still have a future. Why? You are young. You are in your hometown. But all factors held constant, you still have an opportunity. I don't allow me to go back. And they said, no, we are going with you. And she tries to paint the picture of how desperate the situation will be, or how desperate the situation is. She says, let us exercise our imagination for a moment, that perhaps if I got a husband today, let's not talk about a week, today, if I got a husband today, and that husband is very gracious, and also, today, by God's grace, I become pregnant. I conceive. She's trying to paint the picture. So first of all, there is no husband today. So there is no conception today. But let's say, for example, it happens. And then she goes further to say, and in fact, we surprisingly discover that by the end of this pregnancy, I have twins. Will you wait for them until they are old enough for you to marry them? And while you are waiting for them, I don't know whether your ears will also be somewhere constant, just waiting. You are not growing older, waiting for them. Naomi is saying, the situation is desperate. It is bad. And by the way, for your information, in the house of Judah, because Elimelech comes from the house of Judah, Naomi is telling this story from an idea that she has, or she had when she joined this family after getting married. Do you remember Judah when all his sons died and God struck them dead and Tamar was left? What story did Judah give the daughter-in-law? Said, now, my daughter, just go back home. Should things work out for me here and I get a son, I promise you, I'll give you. And you know the story. Naomi did not want to get herself into that situation. And so she urges the two ladies to go back. However, one of the ladies says, no, I am going to cling with you. I am going to go with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Whoever your people are, they will be my people. Wherever you will die, there shall I die. Wherever you will be buried, there I will be buried. And this lady stuck with Naomi. And it is this lady called Ruth that now shows up in now a foreign country, among a foreign people, and they are with Naomi, and they have arrived. And the women, actually, they are greeted at the marketplaces. They come in at the gates. They are greeted by women, and the women are asking, could that be Naomi? Could that be Naomi? The women could not even recognize her. Maybe when she was leaving, she had makeup, she had ornaments. But as she's coming back in rags. She's also coming back alone. Maybe she had ointment when she was living, but now everything has dried. And you can ask, is that Naomi? And in fact, even herself, she could not recognize herself as Naomi. She said, call me Mara. Things are bad because I'm bitter. However, brothers and sisters, it is from this downward, bad, desperate situation and story that we end chapter 4 of the book of Ruth with a celebration. We end the book of Ruth with a celebration. We end the book of Ruth with celebration. And the question is, what happened in between chapter 1 and towards the end of chapter 4? Brothers and sisters, a redeemer came in. It is a redeemer that made a difference. I am here to declare over your life that between the beginning of your life, between the beginning of your story and the end of your story, there is a redeemer in between. That redeemer makes things different. That redeemer, his name is Jesus. He makes all things new. And so it is this redemption that is happening in chapter 4 that I want us to focus on. And it gives us three characteristics of redemption that I want to suggest to us are ultimately fulfilled perfectly in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first one, therefore, is that for redemption to take place, there had to be requirements. There were requirements that had to be met for redemption to take place. And so the question is, what are these requirements? Boaz brings out these requirements before the elders and before this kinsman redeemer. He says that Boaz, when he went up in chapter 4 verse 1, when Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close guardian redeemer or kinsman redeemer he had mentioned in chapter 3 came along. Boaz said, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here, and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought you should know. You know, I'm wondering whether it is true he didn't know. Boaz is telling him, I thought you should know. And then the Bible continues to say, I thought I should bring this matter to your attention and suggest he is the man who has the responsibility. He is the man who has the right. But Boaz is saying, I suggest that you buy it in the presence of this seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. The first requirement is that for redemption to take place, there had to be a kin. And a kin is a relative, a close relative, not just any other kin, but a close relative. That relative will be the one who has the first responsibility and right to look at the desperate situation of the other kin and actually take up that responsibility to redeem them. In this case, we have a fellow here whose name we are not given. We are just told he was the closest. But though he was the closest, he seems either not to have bothered. Because, brothers and sisters, it is very clear from this text that Naomi's arrival in Bethlehem was not secret news. You know, you can be in such a situation that it is no longer private. Naomi's desperate situation was not private. Everybody heard the news. But it seems like the kinsman redeemer, the one who had the right, the one who had the responsibility, the one who was the first in line, seems to have been unawares. Brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that Jesus is aware of your situation. Jesus, who is your kinsman redeemer, is aware of your situation. People may not know, but Jesus knows. He's aware. He's not ignorant. So he had to be a relative. But secondly, that person also had to be willing. He had to be willing to redeem. And the next thing that Boaz then is asking, number one, he's saying, you are the man that is qualified. But then he goes further to ask him, but are you willing? And we, as we see, the man immediately says, I am willing. But as we shall see, that will turn around again. But this kingsman redeemer had to be willing. Not only did this kingsman redeemer had to be willing, but he also had to be legally qualified. And so legally qualified here also means that the person had the right age. The person had the right age to transact in this kind of business. And so the nearer the redeemer, the absolute right that person had. Here we have a redeemer in the case of Ruth. One who is a kin, one who is who has expressed willingness, and one who is legally qualified. Brothers and sisters, our King and our kinsman redeemer, his name is Jesus. He perfectly fulfills all these requirements for him to be qualified to redeem. Because he became one of us. Jesus became a kin. He became one of us when he left his glory above, when he left his throne above, according to Philippians chapter 2. And he came down to this world and he was born in Bethlehem without any honor, without even people recognizing that there is a king that is being born. He was not honored. He was not even born in a good place, but he left all his glory above so that he can come and associate with you and me and become our kin. That is the reason why Jesus left heaven. He was willing. He was not pushed to come. And that's why the Bible tells us, Jesus says in John chapter 10, that he lays his life willingly. Jesus is not only qualified to be the redeemer, he is not only our kin, but he is willing to be your redeemer. This same Jesus is fully qualified. And I am here to encourage you this morning to know that Jesus left heaven with your name on his mind. He left heaven with your circumstance in his mind. He left heaven targeting you to come and associate with you, qualified to be a redeemer. And so that today you are not walking alone. You have a kinsman redeemer. This kinsman redeemer is not only qualified, but he is your friend. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. That is the first aspect of redemption. That there was a requirement, and the requirement had to be met. But secondly, there was a cost for redemption. Redemption was an expensive affair. Redemption was a matter that required and called for responsibility, additional responsibility to the redeemer. Now, Boaz tells this man in verse 5, he says to him, after he has enumerated his qualification, then he says, redeem. And verse 5, the man says, I will redeem it. And then Boaz goes further and tells him there is a responsibility. There is a cost for this redemption. And he tells him, the day you acquire the land, you will also acquire the widow. This is what the Bible says in verse 5. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabites, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And by this, at this, the guardian redeemer stood up and said, no, I cannot redeem it. Why? Because there is a cost. I might endanger my own estate. What does this mean? Basically, when you take up the role of a redeemer, it came with a cost. Because first of all, you had the cost, you had the responsibility of being a husband. Being a husband comes with privileges, but it also comes with responsibility. And while at that, it is concerning that many young people will want the privilege of marriage. And as they get into marriage, they are excited about the privilege. They are excited about the goodies that come. I can see my good friend, Brother Johnston, is laughing. Yes, there are some good things that will come with marriage, my brother. Because that smile that you normally leave in church and go home, now you will be going home with it. You will not be leaving it at home. You know, this is one gentleman who must be watching our services very frequently, because there is a smile that just comes there that is a blessing to him. He has to keep watching. Now you will not watch. It will be in your house. Johnston and Edgar. Edgar, there was a smile at the corner somewhere there. Where is that smile? Wapi yo smile ya Edgar na yuko leo kansani. Where is the sister? Ama alitoka? Okay, wacha tusema amepeleka smile kwa Edgar. All right? But Johnston, I want to tell you, it also comes with a responsibility. And it is that responsibility, for your information, that makes marriage sweet. It is not even the privileges. The privileges are just like icing on the cake. It is when you see the blessings of responsibility over your wife, the blessings of responsibility over your husband, that is the joy that makes a marriage sweet. It is the responsibilities that bring people closer. When you know today there is nothing to eat, you even come closer, at least to be warm. You at least be warm. Encourage one another. Responsibility. This kinsman redeemer stands up and recognizes the responsibilities that will come by him becoming a redeemer. In fact, he sees danger on his own property. Initially, he had seen an opportunity. He had probably seen the 50 acres Elimelech had left. He had probably seen how that will be added to his 20 acres. And he probably was thinking in his mind, after all, Naomi is old. Very soon she will not be there. And so what remains is the land, and it is mine. But now Boaz has told him there is a responsibility. There is a cost. And for this cost, the Redeemer who had the right said no. Jesus looked at you and he saw the cost and he said yes. Where people said no, Jesus said yes. Where people said, we cannot tolerate you, Jesus said, I will take that up. Where you fell down and you are full of shame, Jesus said, I'm going to lift you up. I am going to embrace you. You do not need to change your clothes. Your mud is going to be my mud. Your tears is going to be my tears. Your weaknesses are going to be my weaknesses. And in all this, I will cause a transformation about you, because I am ready to take the cost. Jesus took the cost. Jesus took the cost over your life. Brothers and sisters, do you know there are some people who are very expensive to keep? There are some people who are expensive to keep in every way. But even when everybody says that one we cannot keep up with, Jesus said, I am going to keep up with this one because I can bear the cost. Have you been, those of us who have lived a little longer, I haven't lived very long, but the little I have lived, have you been in trouble until people avoid you? Have you been in trouble until people avoid you? They tolerate you the first few days. Ah, this rain is good. It means we can preach until 4. So we are not going to follow this clock because I don't want it to be rained on. I am going to preach until it stops. When it stops, I release you. Hallelujah. So that you're not rained on, all right? I'm just being fair. Kuna mtu anasema, wacha inyeshe. Hallelujah. Jesus is not only qualified as your redeemer, but he is willing to pay the cost for your redemption. And for this transaction to be done, then there was a ritual there, or the way they did transactions is that the person who is now selling or redeeming will remove their sandal and hand it over to this other person, and the transaction or the deal will be closed. And this man then said, no, I am not going to do it. And he removed his sandal and said, over to you, Boaz, redeem it. I am here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, Jesus did more than removing his sandal. Jesus gave his own life for you. In that transaction, all that was required, if I may demonstrate, was that he only needed to remove a shoe. Maybe it was even an old shoe, not as new as mine. Maybe it ilikuwa imechapa. But Jesus did not remove his shoe. Jesus gave his precious life and his precious body. He gave everything. He said, for this one, the price is greater than a shoe. The price is greater than a sandal. The price tag that Jesus has placed on you is greater than any price tag anybody can ever place on you. The devil cannot afford you. Sicknesses cannot afford you. Things of this world cannot afford you, because the price tag that Jesus has blessed you for redemption is his own life, his own body, that he went to the cross for you. He died for you. He said, I am stopping at nothing until I redeem this one. I didn't know this place is very comfortable without one shoe. And I've never considered even walking around without one shoe, but today I am. But I want you to know that this Jesus took on your sin. This Jesus bore your curse. This Jesus carried on him your judgment. He gave his very life as a full payment for your redemption. And he did not do this grudgingly. He did this joyfully. You owe no one no debt, because Jesus paid it all on the cross. And that's why we are able to sing today and say, ah, the cross, where I found so the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The cross, where I found so the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And you know, at this point, maybe you're here in the sanctuary, you are following this service online, and you're still walking with the burden of your heart. You are still gleaning on leftovers. Yet your kinsman redeemer has already paid the cost for you. And you are here with us, maybe in the sanctuary. You are online. You are in the pavilion. This is the moment you accept the gift of the kinsman redeemer. This is the moment you receive this gift of salvation that has cost your kinsman redeemer his very life. And I want to pause and say, I want to give you that opportunity now. We normally do this towards the end of the sermon, but I don't want you to miss what comes next on the next point. And so you are here, you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, your kinsman redeemer. You haven't received this gift from the kinsman redeemer. We are pausing for you so that you can come and receive this gift right away in this very moment, because the kinsman redeemer is calling you. Is there someone like that? You're saying, don't be ashamed. You're saying, Pastor, you are talking about me. I have never received this Savior. And you're saying, I want to give my life to him now. Please let me ask these deacons who are here, Chair, if you could just come to the front. We have some deacons at the pavilion. Please just stand at the front. That anybody who wants to receive this redemption, this is the moment. This is the moment. This kinsman redeemer is calling you. Don't be ashamed, because where you are is worse than what he wants to give you now, right here in this place. And so I'm giving this opportunity one more time. Maybe you are online, let us know. If you are online and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus right now, this is the time. I want you to stand up wherever you are. Gather courage. Gather courage. And say, I am not leaving this sanctuary today before I surrender my life to my kinsman redeemer. You are saying, I am not leaving. I must receive him today in Jesus' name, because he's inviting you. And I said earlier, there are people who must give their lives to Christ this year. You must surrender your life. Jesus has been pursuing you. This is the year. And probably this is the moment for you. Is there anyone? This is your opportunity. Let me know if there is someone online. Please let me know. Let me know if there is someone online, because this is your moment in Jesus' name. And even at the pavilion, let me know. Should there somebody come to the front, pray with them, but also let us know before this service ends, because we want to celebrate you. We want to celebrate you who is saying, today I want to come to this King's Man Redeemer. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now you are the one we are waiting for. Oh, the cross, the cross. We are waiting for you. The Kinsman Redeemer is waiting for you. And he knows you are here. He knows you are here. He knows you are the one we are talking about. He knows that. Because he knows the condition of your heart. He knows whom he died for. So, if you are the one, step forward so that today you can receive this gift of salvation in Jesus' name. Online, let me know if there is somebody online in Jesus. The cross, the cross, the cross, where I first saw the light and the It was there. We are waiting for you. I believe something is happening at the pavilion. I believe something is happening online. Somebody at home is watching, and they are saying, I need this Kinsman Redeemer in Jesus' name. Oh, the cross. The cross. Where I first saw. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy . Somebody online by the name Ras Naim. Let's celebrate Ras Naim. Ras Naim says, today I want to give my life to this Kinsman Redeemer. And his life will never be the same again. So I just want to lead him to Christ. And just in case there is somebody in the pavilion who has come forward, let me know. Ras Naim, wherever you are, we are celebrating with you. And we want you to join us in prayer right now. and we want you to, and anyone else who could be online, and even here, maybe you haven't stood, but you're saying, Pastor, it is I. This Jesus knows you. This Kingsman Redeemer knows you, and he knows you by name. And I want you to say, having put your faith in the Lord Jesus, Ras Naim, and anyone else, I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I recognize you as my Kinsman Redeemer. And today, by faith, I open my heart so that you can come in and save me and redeem me and become Lord and Savior over my life. Through your redemption, I receive the forgiveness of sin and I receive a new life. Because now I am born again and I am a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us celebrate the King of Kings as we celebrate Ras Naim. Ras Naim has given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. While you're standing there, let me just bring the third point. The third characteristic of this redemption is the blessing of redemption. The blessing of redemption. Jesus secures it fully. Look at what happens in verse 11. After Boaz has redeemed Ruth and has redeemed Naomi, and he has taken up the cost willingly and joyfully, and now Naomi has a name to her. This is what happens in verse 11. There is a witness, and in verse 11 they say, and all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. And now look at what happens to this one who was a widow. Initially, she was called the Moabite widow. She was referred to as the widow who came with Naomi. But now the elders are saying, we are witnesses. And now may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home, may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this woman, you are blessed. And for this, Ruth is now connected to the blessings of Abraham. That which was not hers has now become hers. She is now in the league of Rachel and Leah, the matriarchs of Israel. Because of this Redeemer, fruitfulness has been restored over her. Because of this Redeemer, honor has been restored on her. Because of this Redeemer, now Ruth has a legacy to her name. Wherever Israel talks about its genealogy and its status, they will talk about Ruth. Ruth's name will always be mentioned, because it is through Ruth that we get Jesse and we get Obed and we get David, and through that lineage we come and get Joseph, and through that lineage we get our Kinsman Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. And so with this, brothers and sisters, Jesus has appropriated on each one of us every blessing of the Father. We who are not a people, the Bible says now we are the people of God. We who are far away, the Bible says now we have been brought near. We who are strangers to the covenant and the blessings of Abraham, the Bible says now we have become partakers. And I am here to declare over your life, my brother, my sister, you are blessed, because you have not been redeemed by the blood of goats. You have not been redeemed by the blood of bulls. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The blood that speaks good things over your life. I am telling someone that every day the blood of Jesus speaks something good over your life. When you are low, the blood of Jesus speaks that you are uplifted. When you are weak, the blood of Jesus speaks speaks that you are strong. When you are ashamed, the blood of Jesus speaks that there is courage over your life. When you are afraid, the blood of Jesus says, I am here right next to you. Thou shalt not be afraid. Because this blood of Jesus, not only does it redeem, it sustains. Not only does it redeem, it beautifies. Not only does it redeem, it restores. Not only does this blood redeem, but it gives hope. Not only does this blood redeem, it gives a new identity. I am not what I was. I am not what you think I am. I am what Jesus says I am. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people think that you become what people say you are. You are not what people say you are. You are not the labels that people have placed on you. And maybe this past week they said you are a failure. Jesus is saying you are a victor. Maybe this past week they said you will amount to nothing. Jesus is saying every blessing of the Father belongs to you. Hallelujah. And I think now I can wear my shoe. Because it is not about a shoe. It is about the life of Jesus. I am not redeemed through a shoe. I am redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I am not redeemed through men's work and activities. I am redeemed by the name of Jesus Christ, who has become my Lord and my Savior. And I am never walking alone. Ruth did no longer continue gleaning. Now where she used to glean became hers. I prophesy in Jesus' name that there are some things that are within your peripheral, but soon they will become yours. Because you have a Redeemer. His name is Jesus. And that which belongs to the Father is yours. In Jesus' name. It was there by faith I received. If I have a people who have received spiritual sight in Jesus, please be upstanding. Even as we bring this to a close in Jesus' name. It was there,
I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
And it was there, Spirit, I feel like praying for some widows who may be in our midst today, or who are hearing this voice and this word, and life has not been as smooth. One time a close relative of ours lost the husband, and we visited her with my wife, and it was so heavy on her. And maybe some of us have carried that burden for many years, because things have looked like they were going south at every corner. I want you to leave this service knowing that you have a kinsman redeemer, and his name is Jesus. And though we may not understand any pain that you go through, or the challenges that you have faced, one thing I want to assure you is that Jesus understands and he knows. As I say this, I'm reminded of my grandmother, or rather our grandmother, and she's been a widow, I think, for over 20 years. And sometimes things can be rough, can be challenging. There can be loneliness, but Jesus is close to you. Today I want you to leave this service knowing that Jesus is right by your side. Our Father, we want to thank you. What men could not do for us, even those who had a right or we thought they had the capacity or ability to do something, that which they could not do for us, Jesus has done it for us. And you being our kinsman redeemer, you are our kinsman redeemer. Whether we have human husbands, human fathers, human uncles and aunties and kins who can take care of us, you remain our kinsman redeemer, one who never fails, one who is fully qualified, one who is familiar with our weaknesses, one who has already entered the Holy of Holies, and that which the blood of goats and the blood of bulls could not achieve, he has achieved for us. That which our status could not achieve, that which our wealth or material things could not achieve, that which even our own genealogies could not achieve, Jesus has achieved for us, because he has become our perfect kinsman redeemer. And so as we leave this sanctuary today, Lord, may we walk with our heads high. May we walk with our heads high. And let there be a special grace and anointing over any widow who is listening to this message today. One who has continued to wait on the Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen them. Bless their children. Should they have lost anything that belonged to them because their husbands are no more, Lord, let it be recovered in Jesus' name. You have said you are the defender of widows. I pray that you defend them in all sides. Surround them, O King of Kings, with your covering. And so, Lord, we pray throughout this week, you have secured our every day. Your blessings will overflow in our lives because we are not walking alone. We are walking with the Kinsman Redeemer. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Brethren, you are blessed on Monday. You are blessed on Tuesday. Indeed, you are blessed on Wednesday. Thursday, the King of Kings is with you. And Friday, he is with you. Saturday, you remain blessed. The entire week, you are walking in the blessings of the Lord. Because these are the blessings of your Kinsman Redeemer that will never leave you. They are applied over your life and everything that concerns you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And God's people say, Amen. Have a great week ahead.